Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Time to pick the greatest Veep thought of all time from our esteemed vice president and person that we'll hopefully never hear from again. Go to veepthoughts.com, like your favorite videos, and we'll play the most popular ones in a special episode coming up during the holidays, the best of Veep thoughts. Yes, we are at that time of the year. David Harsanyi is here to talk about the real conspiracy theorists in the country, the Democrats. Post-election polling is proving the left was even dumber than we thought they were in 2024. We'll look at the latest. We're going to start by doing DEI in the skies. Yes, DEI in the skies. Kind of an interesting topic because one thing you don't want when you're flying in a plane at 600 miles an hour is a federal agency overseeing all of those flights that's more concerned about your skin color than the aptitude of the pilots or the people on the ground controlling them. That is kind of a problem, and it's been a problem for a long time. It's a problem that Donald Trump is aiming to stop in about 2 months. Sean Duffy will be the Trump Transportation Secretary. He will end DEI for pilots. He released a statement on Truth Social outlining this. He says, I am pleased to announce the former Congressman Sean Duffy from the great state of Wisconsin is nominated to serve as the Secretary of Transportation. What will we do without Pete Buttigieg? He did such a good job. And I think really set himself up for a presidential run coming very, very soon. I want to focus on this part, though, of the message announcing Sean Duffy. He says he will prioritize excellence, competence, and competitiveness and beauty when rebuilding America's highways, tunnels, bridges, and airports. He will ensure our ports and dams serve our economy without compromising our national security. And he will make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI, diversity, exclusion. What is it? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Right, got that word. Exclusion would have been a funny one. Diversity and exclusion. That would have been fun. It's kind of more apt of a better description of what it actually is. Diversity, equity, and inclusion for pilots and air traffic controllers. Now, I happen to be the type of person who's interested in this topic. Why, you might ask? Well, first of all, I do fly in planes, and I would like them not to crash. So I have a very selfish interest in this particular topic. But beyond that, I also did a documentary on this not that long ago. Feels like it was a long time ago now. It was months ago, but it's been ready and ready to go for a while. And I just found out it's coming out this week if you're a Blaze TV subscriber. It is called Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. Comes out Thursday if you're a Blaze TV subscriber. If you go to blazetv.com/Stu, promo code is Stu. You'll save $30 off your subscription to Blaze TV. And you get to see this because I flew all over the country and talked to experts from all over the country. And honestly, like, if Sean Duffy wanted to get a nice little summary of the job he's got in front of him, this would lay it out pretty well, talking about all the near misses that we've had over the past few months and years, talking about the way that pilots and air traffic controllers were discriminated against because of the color of their skin. That's what I would say. But because they were not the proper color of their skin, if they didn't answer questions right to show that they were a minority group or a different some part of the intersectional parade, they were overlooked as to be elevated to these positions. It's a real problem, and there's massive lawsuits. I talked to one of the guys who is suing the federal government over this, who was, even though got a perfect score on all of his tests, was denied entry into the program to develop new air traffic controllers. It's an incredible story. It comes out on Thursday. If you're a Blaze TV subscriber, you're gonna get access to it on Thursday. If you're not, sign up, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu, you'll save $30. Before we get into like the what's going on with all of this though, I wanna just dive into Sean Duffy's life for a second. because it's an incredible story. This guy has had a very colorful life. Who is Sean Duffy? Former lawmaker, reality TV star, is Trump's transport pick. Okay, so who is Sean Duffy? Well, you may have seen him on, yes, The Real World. MTV's The Real World. That's where you probably first heard of him, if you can remember back in those days. Duffy is a former reality television star who appeared on MTV's The Real World Boston in 1997. Popular series brought together strangers from various backgrounds to live under one roof for several months. He and six others were featured in the sixth season. In an archived MTV biography of the show's cast, Duffy was described as a typical Midwestern boy. Weird thing to write about. I don't know. Right. Like for an adult and a lumberjack sports champion from Hayward, Wisconsin. Now, if you know Sean Duffy, you might know him from other reasons, but you probably also know his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy. So Sean Duffy then appeared on Road Rules All-Stars, later renamed The Challenge, featuring other reality television alumni, where he met his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy. She had appeared on The Real World San Francisco. I mean, just a cool story. And you might also, of course, know Sean Duffy from the and a lot of people are like, oh, he's just a reality star. You just see him on the news all the time. And he was also a congressman. Duffy was sworn into the U.S. House of Representatives of Wisconsin's 7th District, January 2011. He was a member of the Financial Services Committee and served as chairman of its committee, subcommittee on insurance and housing, according to the biography on Fox News. Duffy served as a lawmaker for nearly 9 years until his resignation in September 2019, citing a desire to focus on the family. They also have a really good podcast. My wife loves it, where they talk about life and a lot of family issues. And then Duffy joined the Fox News Network in 2020 as a contributor and co-host The Bottom Line with Dagan McDowell on Fox Business. The show airs from 6 to 7 Eastern time. Wait a minute, that's when our show airs. Why are we telling people that? What are we doing here? This is crazy. Don't watch that show. Watch this show. Jeez, I mean, that's unbelievable. The point of all, it's just an incredible story. We've had them on before, and they're great. I think he'll be a really good pick for this. He's a serious person. Yes, he's on Fox News, which is the only qualification you're allowed to cite if you're in the mainstream media. He's just picking people off Fox News. Well, he's also a congressman. He's got quite a wide resume, and it goes, he's been handling a lot of these types of issues. But there's a lot to clean up. This is not a small job. I was really overwhelmed, honestly, going through the documentary, talking to all these people and seeing all the problems. I mean, there's one part of the documentary, I'm talking to an expert about the FAA, and they are still, to this day, in 2024, using floppy disks in some of these airports. Floppy, you remember the kind you'd pull out and you'd put in and you'd close the little thing and it'd go zzz. They're still using them. They're using paper records for some of these things. I don't know. Maybe we could do a little bit better than that in 2024. I think we have the technology. And we've been seeing a lot of these problems part of this is Pete Buttigieg. I should point out, people who are critical of Sean Duffy, they're like, oh, he's a reality star, a Fox News guy. That's who you're going to pick. His resume is a lot deeper than guy who was a mayor from South Bend, Indiana, whose major accomplishment was filling potholes and installing exterior lighting on a bridge. And I get those two qualifications from the Biden campaign when they were running ads against Pete Buttigieg. Okay, they were the ones that pointed out he had no qualifications. And then they appointed him Secretary of Transportation, which I swear to you was an intentional thing to screw him, because there's no way you can be president with an ad like that. And then they name you to Transportation Secretary. They're like, the only thing you did was fill potholes. Let's name him Transportation Secretary. That'll get him out of the way. Well, that seemingly worked. Failure is not an option. FAA's DEI hiring practice could endanger passengers, GOP AGs warn. Coalition of 11 Republican attorneys general submitted a letter to the FAA. This is back in February, I think. February 21st. Coalition of 11 Republican attorneys general submitted a letter to the FAA warning the federal agency that's prioritizing DEI in the hiring process could put airline passengers at risk. We are troubled by some recent reports regarding your agency's hiring practices and priorities. It seems that the FAA has placed diversity bean counting over safety and expertise. And we wonder that such misordered priorities could be catastrophic for American travelers. That really is the worry. And it was weird doing the documentary and flying around the country and being like, I got to get on another plane after that interview. Like, this sounds like a terrible idea. But we flew all over the place to try to get the people who actually care about this, the experts, the people who know the situation and know how widespread and kind of terrible it has been for a while now. And it was quite a journey. I will tell you that. FAA's diversity push includes focusing on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. We talked about this story at the time. This is real. It's still on their website now. Diversity and inclusion. Diversity takes flight. Because skin color and genitals are so important to your flying experience. I mean, I guess it could be. It depends on the kind of flight you're going to be on, right? But that's more like the Mile High Club, I think, than normal average business travel. But this is one of the things that got everyone's raised everyone's eyebrows here. Targeted disabilities. Targeted disabilities are those disabilities that the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis in recruitment and hiring. They include hearing, vision. Vision's mildly important when you're flying a plane. Missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis. Now, again, everyone has their thing, and sometimes life sucks. And if you're dealing with something really, really serious like this, it is a great goal to be able to help people, get back into the workforce if it's at all possible, depending on how extreme these things are, of course. And it's great that those people can provide services to the rest of society. That's a great goal. But when you're talking about the FAA, it just might not be the place for a person who's blind, deaf, and paralyzed. I don't know. Maybe I don't know all the job qualifications. Epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disability, and dwarfism. Dwarfism seems like that absolutely can be working in the FAA. But, is psychiatric disabilities, intellectual disabilities, paralysis, blindness. I mean, some of these things are kind of key to your job performance, I would think. The U.S. FAA is also opening new oversight review into Boeing safety practices. The FAA said last month it was reviewing Boeing's operational safety processes to ensure they meet FAA requirements and result in timely, accurate safety-related information for FAA use, and said it was part of our aggressive oversight to ensure Boeing has the right tools to sustain lasting changes to its safety culture. Now, look, Boeing's had all sorts of problems. But again, it seems like when you're connected to the government, you're able to those are overlooked a little bit at times. And that's a bit of a problem. We've even seen this in space. Yes, FAA in space. That's been a big issue recently, considering they are just dropping. You kind of want, when you're going into space, you want a round trip ticket. And that was kind of the issue with the Boeing situation recently. And then it was Elon Musk that had to bring the astronauts home after all of this. Of course, Elon Musk is now being targeted by the FAA, the one agency that might have the muscle to oppose Elon Musk. The Federal Aviation Administration has spent years tangling with Musk's SpaceX for violation related to its operations, including multiple incidents when the company launched rockets without approval. Oops. I mean, look, this happens sometimes. Sometimes you're pressing buttons, you press launch, the thing goes into space. What are you going to do? Okay, everybody makes mistakes. Sometimes, maybe because you have paralyzed employees that can't hit. I don't know. It's just a question. During the past year, the agency proposed fining SpaceX $633,009. That is also the equivalent of one third of a second of income for Elon Musk for twice using plans that the agency had not greenlighted, and forced the company to idle its launch pads in Texas for months because of a pending Fish and Wildlife Service review. They're going into space. What do you mean fish and wildlife? Elon Musk has talked about this, by the way. He's gone back and forth with them over and over and over again. This is one I will say will probably get cleaned up with the Trump administration coming in. I mean, Elon Musk pushed really hard for Donald Trump. I'm not saying I think he did it because he cares about the country. He cares about free speech, cares about a lot of different things. But I don't think Donald Trump's going to use the FAA to go after him. I don't think that's the way that's going to happen. Call me a little skeptical on that one. And also we have this little wonderful anecdote to support our broadcast today. Bullet hit Southwest Airlines plane preparing to depart Dallas Airport. The incident comes days after Spirit Airline plane bound for Port-au-Prince, Haiti, was hit by bullets and diverted to Santiago, Dominican Republic. One flight attendant suffered minor injuries. We're just firing guns at planes now. We're just like Haiti. We can do it just as well as Haiti. Look, the documentary's coming up Thursday. Don't miss it. It's blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew. It is called It's called something. It's on one of these cards. I don't know. Yeah, here it is. It is countdown to the next aviation disaster. Check it out. It's on blazetv, blazetv.com/stew. Check it out Thursday. We'll have more details coming up. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And I love Prize Picks. You know that already about me, though. Every week, Prize Picks offers promotions that can lead to big payouts. They also have really cool things. I've talked to you about the injury insurance before. And so last night, I'm on Prize Picks. And I just got to, look, the Cowboys, not very competitive these days, which makes me incredibly happy as a man from Dallas. They're playing in Houston, and I'm mildly interested in the game, to be honest with you. It's not a big one for me. But I'm like, hey, I'll do a Prize Picks lineup, and that'll give me something to watch. And I'm watching it, and C.J. Stroud, I have him over 253.5 pass yards. And the other one I have is Jake Ferguson, which is over 4 receptions, okay? And I'm watching this, and, Jake Ferguson winds up getting injured in the first half. Well, I'm screwed. I've now lost because of Jake Ferguson getting injured. I'm more concerned with the poor guy who got injured, but still, it sucks when your lineup gets blown up. However, on Prize Picks, it didn't, because I had injury insurance, and because he got hurt in the first half, they refunded my money. They just gave it back to me. Because, they're not talking about bad luck here. They're trying to help you here. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on most sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. It is the only real money daily fantasy platform with that injury insurance policy. So don't miss out on that. Get yourself bailed out a little bit with Prize Picks. They also have the flex play, so you don't have to get everything right. You can still win even though your lineup isn't perfect. It's a great way to play along, even when it's a Dallas Cowboy. 3-7? Dallas Cowboys, gosh, what an embarrassment they are. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code STEWSPORTS. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5. The code is STEWSPORTS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play only $5. You don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Check it out now. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
I want to bring in David Harsanyi. He's a senior writer for the Washington Examiner and author of the brand new book, The Rise of BlueAnon, How the Democrats Became a Party of Conspiracy Theorists, which is out today and sure to piss a bunch of people off. Be sure to grab a copy or two wherever you get your books. David, thanks so much for coming on the program, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a great book. And it's, I feel like, something that's undercover, has been covered too infrequently, I guess I would say, because of the fact that, it's supposed to be right wingers who are the conspiracy theorists. But you present a bunch of evidence in the book, and you go back to kind of the beginning of this with the vast right wing conspiracy, right? Is this where all this started, back with Hillary Clinton?
Well, it was part of it. For a long time, the left gaslights you. They pretend that what you're saying is a conspiracy theory. It's just kind of like an act of projection. But in fact, and I'm not saying there aren't conspiracy theories on the right. We know there are. But there is a special brand of leftist conspiracy theory, one that is packaged really, through media, really, beautifully calibrated for plausibility, propped up with expert testimony from people that we used to trust. So it's just a lot more dangerous because it's a lot more difficult to debunk and to fight back against all these institutions. And the left has been doing this for a very long time. even before Hillary. But I think that the Clintons, like many things in America, they brought the worst out of us and the worst out of their own side. So yeah. I think it's a good place to start the history of it.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit on the sort of highly produced versions of conspiracy theories we get from the left. And it comes from also often places of credibility. Now, you can certainly point out people of high stature on the right that delve into this stuff. But it feels like a lot of this stuff comes from random Twitter accounts and bloggers and people who are not taken all that seriously. When on the left, it really does come centrally from not only politicians, as you mentioned with Hillary, but also like places like Rachel Maddow, who is a highly respected, like hosting their election coverage type of host on MSNBC. And, she seems to believe every single one of these conspiracy theories about Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the biggest conspiracy theory we've had lately, it's probably the Russia collusion thing, which dominated our political discussion for like 3 years. We had every host on MSNBC spreading it. CNN spread it in a more, serious tone. We had, a guy named Jonathan Chait, who was a writer at New York Magazine, just considered like a moderate mainstream Democrat, writing an 8,000 word piece about how Donald Trump was a Russian asset since 1987. So if they were on the right doing this, they would have been relegated to YouTube channels and to the fringe of social media. But because they're offering something that appeals to many on the left, they get a hearing from the New York Times, from the Washington Post, from all these places. And when you're like, that sounds pretty crazy, they will say you're the conspiracy theorist. So the Hunter laptop, which was completely legitimate story, well reported by the New York Post, a bunch of experts, former intel people say that's a conspiracy. That's from the Russians. Anyone who says differently is engaged in, disinformation and misinformation. So it's really hard to fight back against it, or a lot harder to fight back against it than you would against the right.
And it doesn't seem like there's a certain bar of evidence that can be cleared to get rid of these things. I remember the excitement leading up to the Mueller report release. Like they were like pumped up and ready to see all this evidence. And when it kind of led to nothing, there wasn't really like a step back. There wasn't we're so sorry. Certainly, what can we do better next time? That never comes. But there wasn't really even a stopping of pursuing this line of thinking. I mean, how do you disassemble this if there's no evidence that can disprove it?
Well, if even after it's debunked or even after it fizzles out, there's no reckoning. No one lost a job. Adam Schiff has a better job than he had before. The media, maybe now they're paying a price, but in general, they were given better jobs. And, this has been the case for a long time. Just to go back a bit, today everyone talks about George W. Bush as a great statesman, because every Republican that's not in office is good. But they called him Hitler. Michael Moore put out a documentary, for younger people might not know this, in like 2006, I think it was, Fahrenheit 9/11, that was as bad as any kind of like fringy right-wing conspiracy. It had everything in it. Blamed George Bush for basically all the world's problems. He got a standing ovation at the Oscars. His documentary is one of the top grossing documentaries of all time. No one's like, he'd have to pay a price when none of it came true and all of it was proven false. He just moved on and made a lot of money. But on the right, Alex Jones says crazy things and he has to pay a lot of money for it and lose his company. It's just not this. It's just not the same.
Another one of my favorites, conspiracy theories that you mention in here is this idea that everything is The Handmaid's Tale. And I love this one because it's so true. They constantly go to the same reference over and over again. And I've watched the Hulu series. Like I get it's a there's it's incredible visually. And I maybe that's why it's always brought up. But like, bring us to the why. Where did this come from? Why all of a sudden they all latching onto The Handmaid's Tale?
I think you're right. I think the visuals are pretty great. Those nun outfits or whatever they are. But the idea, I mean, women in America today are freer than any woman and safer than any women have probably ever been ever in the history of the world. And yet they act like they're on the cusp of being forced to have children to keep society going and or whatever that book's about. And they take in abortion and they mischaracterize all the things that happens with pro-life laws and all that to try to convince women. I think many women believe it. There are two types of people, by the way, here. You have the cynical people who know these things aren't true and spread them. And then you have the credulous, you know, partisan who believes all this stuff. And there are a lot of women, it seems to me, who believe that Republicans want to see them dead, that Republicans want to see them, you know, forcing them to have kids. I was just watching a minute ago, Jennifer Rubin saying that Republicans wanted to have kill your children. And it's just either they convince themselves or they lose it. Like, I think that conspiracy theories aren't new. And a lot of times you have large groups of people, they reinforce these things because they're in a silo. And I think a lot of that is why people will believe this stuff today.
Yeah. And I had that same thought as back and forth in my head as to whether they actually believe this stuff. I mean, a good example of this, and you talk about it in the book as well, is, you know, that we live in a fascist state, right? This is not some conspiracy theory on the left that it's like relegated to the, you know, the dark corners of the internet. This was the closing argument of the presidential candidate for the Democrats. I mean, my opponent is Hitler was like, this is a summary of everything that we've tried to bring to your attention. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating.
And in conclusion, my opponent is Hitler. My book's not just about conspiracy theories. It's about this kind of undercurrent of paranoia that propels modern Democratic Party politics. And it's because, in part, that party has turned left. I think during the Obama years, a kind of progressivism has taken over. And around that time, they stopped debating issues and they started just accusing you of stuff. So if I am pro-life, I hate women. If I like Donald Trump, I'm a Russian dupe. If I like this, I'm a patsy of big grocery or whatever it is. They don't actually ever, I haven't had probably in a decade an actual argument about abortion, meaning like, let's talk about when life begins or something like that. It's always just an accusation. And I think you get addicted to that and you keep, you know, pushing it and pushing it until you end up at Hitler. That's where you always end up at the end. And that was the closing argument, that Donald Trump was a fascist. But now you see Morning Joe turn around and he's meeting with Hitler. It just shows you that they're the cynical ones, but a lot of people are credulous and they believe it. People who pick up guns and try to kill Donald Trump believe it. Now, I'm not trying to chill speech, but that's just how it is. You know, if you think a fascist, if I thought some Hitler was coming, then maybe I would have a responsibility to do that as well. You know, so you have to be careful how you talk about stuff, I think. And calling person Hitler is not very responsible.
Yeah. And of course, if it really was Hitler, you wouldn't be inviting him to the White House for a nice meeting. You wouldn't invite Eva Braun for lunch. these things wouldn't be happening. Let me go to, since we're in Hitler land anyway, there mm-hmm. is a real alignment, though, with some elements on the left, with a deep anti-Semitism. We saw this around college campuses over the past year. You see it in the sort of Rashida Tlaib / Hamas wing of the Democratic Party. And I gotta say, I have a pretty low level of faith in our government and the way it operates. But the last year has been, I think, really shocking to a lot of people. We're talking about after October 7th, you'd think there'd be some sort of waking up that you don't go down these roads. And it's been the opposite. It seems like October 7th has inspired the anti-Semites.
Yeah, it's weird, I guess, because even before Israel ever retaliated or anything, you had people marching in Harvard. You know, basically, a lot of whenever there's a movement that is conspiratorial or on the fringe or kind of weird, there's generally a element of anti-Semitism involved. A lot of it driven by conspiracy theories or paranoia about Jewish power and Jewish money and Jewish infiltration of institutions and all of this stuff. And a lot of that now Israel kind of slots into that. So Israel has a lot of power. What did Ilhan Omar say, that they can hypnotize you to do evil or whatever it was, you know? So a lot of that goes on. And then you have this paranoid revisionist history. Now, it's not just Israel, you know, it's like the 1619 project or whatever. It is basically gives you this view of history that says America is evil, that, you know, that the people here, white people, are secretly, you know, systemically suppressing the vote, hunting young black men, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, so on the Jewish end, that happens as well. It's just part of progressivism. I mean, I say this, and it's true. I mean, Karl Marx himself was an anti-Semite. It's been always been part of their outlook. The difference is that Candace Owens or whoever is not in Congress, but we have people in Congress who are anti-Semites, and even Jewish Democrats won't say a word about it. They're too scared to say anything because there is a legitimate wing, Hamas wing in the Democratic Party. I don't know why I'm laughing about it, but it's true. And there's a pro-Hamas wing in the Democratic Party and in the Pentagon and in our in higher education. And like these are institutions that, you know, are very important in American life, and they're filled with people who hate Jews. So
it's unbelievable. Last one for you here, David. Is there a way out of this? Because I talk to some people who are sort of maybe conspiracy. They have a conspiracy theory they're holding on to, and you try to dissuade someone from that. It's really hard to do that paranoid style of American politics, if you will. It's tough to get people out of that. I mean, is there a path back to sanity?
It's everyone's allowed one conspiracy theory. My friend Molly Hemingway always says so. You can't hand someone a fact sheet and say, you know, you can't believe this anymore. Here's all the evidence. I did my own research. Here it is. I mean, it's a lot of it is emotionally. It's driven by emotion. It's something you want to hear. It's something you want to believe. A lot of conspiracy theories, people feel like they're victims, believe that there are shady people trying to steal from them. And every time you say, well, here is X evidence, they're like, yeah, that's exactly what someone would say who's involved in this conspiracy theory, you know? So you always like build onto it. The more you show them, the more, you know, reasons there are for them. So it's very difficult. I think a fever though has broken maybe a little bit with this Trump election. It seems like a lot of people on the left are like, maybe we shouldn't have been calling everyone Hitler. It doesn't work anymore.
Not because it's wrong, it's just because it's not quite as effective as we had hoped.
Yes, right. We have to come up with something better, like alien Martians, right. Martians or something. But so it's, you know, so maybe the fever is broken to some extent. I don't know, though. I mean, we'll see. It's pretty early yet. I think, you know, maybe they just haven't come up with some good conspiracy theory yet.
I'm sure it's coming right around the corner. David Harsanyi, the new book is out today. It is called The Rise of BlueAnon, How the Democrats Became a Party of Conspiracy Theorists. Be sure to grab a copy for yourself and your friends. David, really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Anytime in life you have to make a big change, it's, you know, it can be really hard. And this is especially true when you're trying to buy or sell a home. It's really complicated. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of focus, a lot of jumping through hoops. And of course, the stakes are about as high as you can get when it comes to financial decisions. So you need a real estate agent that can help you through all of this. And you don't want just somebody, you know, you don't just want a guy. You want somebody who's on your side, someone who you can trust. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to find that person. Pairs you with the best top selling real estate agents in your area. Someone who knows the best practices, someone who understands the housing market, someone who is a team leader and a closer, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or both, it's usually both, isn't it? Please get in touch with them. You'll see what I mean. It's a free service to you, realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
So what happened during the election? It was an interesting night. I hope you joined us at blazetv.com/Stu. Got to hang out and watch the election coverage. We did live coverage all the time on youtube.com/Stu Does America throughout the campaign cycle. I'm sure we'll do more lives as well. So go there and subscribe if you would. But what Democrats are saying is, they won all the highly engaged voters, but struggled with, quote, everyone else in 2024. Kind of interesting. This is the breakdown. It's from NBC News. If you look at all voters, Harris versus Trump, basically even. As you know, Trump will probably win the popular vote by about 1.5 to 2 points, somewhere in there, when all votes are cast. Control of Congress, Democrats plus one. Do you follow it closely? Well, Harris and the Harris election, Harris versus Trump, Democrats won those who followed the election closely by 5 points. Those who did not follow it closely, Republicans, Trump won by 14 points. Same basic story in control of Congress. And then when they talk about whether you if you really followed it closely, they asked you on a scale of 1 to 10. And if you followed it closely, you were around a 9 out of 10. If you didn't follow it closely, you're about a 4 out of 10. So, and this has been something that has been proven multiple times now. I mean, certainly in 2024, but even I think I'd argue 2020 and 2016 as well, that Trump can bring out a certain amount of voters that are not particularly highly engaged. He's very good at that. You saw this sort of realignment that has happened over the past couple of cycles where Trump is able to bring out these voters who are not particularly, watching politics day to day, and win them. And it's if you know anything about this stuff, it's been a pretty big reversal from previous election cycles. This used to be what happened with Democrats. Democrats would be able to get those voters out, the ones that were not particularly all that engaged, the ones who were obsessive about politics were run by Republicans. And this does bring up, it's a time to celebrate. You want to bring in people out, from outside your normal circle of voters. It does present interesting questions, because really we have not seen anyone else be able to put together this coalition. Now, maybe J.D. Vance can do it. Maybe Ron DeSantis can do it next time. Maybe somebody else can do it. But so far, it's been pretty unique to Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump's not on the ticket, we haven't seen this work out very well for Republicans. And if your targets are voters that are not particularly engaged in politics, they are less likely to show up, particularly in midterms, where Republicans have really struggled over the past decade or so. So, kind of an interesting development, a positive certainly in there, also a potential negative in there in the future. We will see which direction that goes. Now, Democrats are struggling, of course. They're trying to figure out what the hell happened. They are now blaming Joe Biden more than Harris for their 2024 loss. An Economist YouGov poll asked Harris supporters straight up whether they blamed Harris, Biden, or had a third option that was basically neither. It was just a bad year for Democrats. That third option was the runaway winner. 53%. However, significantly more Harris voters were willing to blame Biden, 24%, than Harris, just 6%. This goes to sort of a coping mechanism going on with Democrats right now. They're like, well, it wasn't Kamala Harris's fault. It's that she got in too late and she had an impossible situation and Joe Biden messed up by not dropping out earlier. Let's be honest about this. It was the Democrats' fault that he didn't drop out earlier. They didn't pressure him when they could have earlier to force him into a runoff a primary where he could have been facing some actual competition. Instead, they waited until they were sure he was going to lose after the debate, and then they finally acted to push him out. He needed to be pressured earlier if he wanted that to happen. And Kamala Harris got $1.5 billion for 15 weeks of work when it comes to the funds that she raised. She was not an underdog because she only had a few weeks. Not to mention, she was the vice president of the United States. Can we remember that? In fact, this is going to shock you. She currently still is, which is really stunning. And finally, Ann Selzer, she's stepping aside in wake of the huge Iowa polling miss. Polling miss isn't huge. Polling miss doesn't really capture it, though, does it? We talked about this at the time. It's a poll that I certainly did not believe. It was that Iowa was going to go to Democrats and Kamala Harris by 3 points. I think Harris was up in that last poll. Now, Selzer has had some good results in the past. This is a really terrible miss. It's the type of miss that it's hard to survive. But it's also, I will say, hard to overstate like the levels of worship she got from like the polling nerd community. She was like the bestest pollster ever. Everyone loved her. It's fascinating to see. There's really no, like, it doesn't matter how pure your process is. If you're missing that badly, your process is obviously wrong. She, by the way, says it's not because, oh, well, I missed so badly. It's because a year ago she had been planning this. I don't know if you believe that or not, but it is a stunning development for polling nerds. These poor guys that are out there, doing their polling podcasts all the time, praised her, had her on all the time. Like, she was a star in that community, and now she is kaput. So let's see if I don't know if the Des Moines Register continues doing this poll or what, but they're going to have to find somebody else to do it. Angel Studios' new movie, Bonhoeffer, pastor, spy, assassin, tells the story of a moral hero who stood up to Adolf Hitler, as few did. And not like the election here, where like everyone was Hitler for a few months. No, no, this is like the real Hitler. The movie is a powerful antidote to the rampant anti-Semitism sweeping the world today. That's why Angel Studios is doing something a bit unexpected. I've never heard a movie company doing this before. They are announcing free tickets for anti-Semites. Yes, if you happen to be an anti-Semite, why are you watching the show, number one? But number two, as we talked about with David Harsanyi a little bit earlier, there's a lot of them out there, apparently. And if you happen to be someone who doesn't like the Jews all that much, you can go see this movie for free. Might give you a little bit of a different perspective as to what Adolf Hitler really was. We think you're the kind of person who won't need a free ticket, but you can find showtimes and share a free ticket with an anti-Semite who badly needs one by going to angel.com/free tickets, angel.com/free tickets. Bonhoeffer opens in theaters on November 22nd. When is that? That's, this Friday? So this Friday, your tickets, you can get them right now at angel.com/free tickets. To be clear, you don't have to be an anti-Semite to go to angel.com/free tickets. You can buy your tickets there, too, as well. And if you have people who just want to hear a great story about a morally brave man who survived one of the worst eras in human history, you're really going to love this film. angel.com/free tickets. Now, you may have heard Congressman Matt Gaetz was nominated to be attorney general for Donald Trump. And you also may have heard that Matt Gaetz, when getting this news, immediately resigned his seat from Congress. Actually, technically, he will get it back, I guess, in January for a very short time until, I guess, he again withdraws, because technically he was elected again to come back to Congress. Anyway, the reason why he stepped down immediately, allegedly, was because he doesn't need to step down to get this gig. He stepped down because he wanted to prevent a ethics report from coming out about his past sexual behavior, potentially, allegedly, with a 17-year-old girl, a 17-year-old who says that they had sex, plus a witness that says at a party he saw him having sex with a 17-year-old that was her friend at the time. Now, even the allegation doesn't implicate Gaetz in knowing she was underage. The idea was that she lied about her age, and he found out about it later and then delayed the relationship until she turned 18. I think that's the allegation. Anyway, kind of a long, sordid story. The point here is not necessarily to go through all of the detail here. The point is that what I said immediately afterward is there is no chance that the House is going to have the restraint to hide this report from people now that he's being nominated to this. Somehow this will leak out. Somehow it will happen. And you'll be shocked to hear these darned hackers are at it again. Yes, a hacker has accessed the sealed testimony of a woman alleging Matt Gaetz had sex with her when she was 17. Stunning. These dag-nabbit, these hackers. You know, who would have ever seen it coming? People, they're hacking all the time. These hackers are hacking, and they're doing their hacks here and there and everywhere. And they just happened to hack this particular testimony in the highly, highly important period before Matt Gaetz's potential Senate confirmation hearing. So, gosh darn these hackers is what you should take from this. Don't be at all skeptical that they were hacked. Don't be at all skeptical that someone who had access to them in the House or one of the staffers leaked them to the media. Now, so far, they haven't been leaked publicly. We don't know what was in them, but guess what's going to happen before the Senate confirmation hearings? You're going to wind up hearing all the gruesome details, whether you want to or not. So we'll watch out for those hacked materials and let you know what happens with them here in the next coming weeks. All right, so once again, if you happen to be a Blaze TV subscriber, you got to check out the new documentary coming out on Thursday, just 2 days away, Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster, starring me. Well, actually, it's starring really smart people about aviation, but I'm in it as well. StuDoesAmerica.com, promo code Stu if you want to get $30 off. If you haven't joined us already, now is the time. Become a Blaze TV member and gain access to the arsenal of truth we built just for you. This is your home, your family, your front line, and the ongoing fight for freedom and integrity. The next chapter starts now. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. Get $30 off right now. StuDoesAmerica.com. Get $30 off. If you love the show, if you support what Blaze TV stands for, this is your chance to get even more involved in something special. It's StuDoesAmerica.com. $30 off now if you go there and get signed up. Lots of great shows, lots of great material coming your way. So check it out. Documentary is Thursday. StuDoesAmerica.com.